Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
10 bucks for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
And welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Bish along with Joe Ranieri with you here on FST. This is also our Sports Grid show every day, 11 to 1 Eastern. A little bit later on today, make sure you stay tuned because you're going to be able to catch Coast to Coach, Coast to Coast, not with Coach, Scott Farrell. He'll be on later. And of course, in-game live, a lot of good decisions that people can make in terms of wagering. And Joe, are you still on a betting ban at this point? Are you still outside of the horses? You're just not betting on humans?
No, I have been waiting. I have positioned myself to lay some money down for the upcoming NFL draft. There's
okay, that's fair.
A lot of those prop bets.
You're going to let us know, right, the night before.
Absolutely. Right? I got a lot of prop bets that there's some great value on right now. Okay. So we are good to go. We are going to dive into people again come this draft next week.
All right, we're almost there. Mm. We'll have a whole show for you that night on Thursday night. We'll be here. Joe will be here behind the scenes. We'll be producing and then jumping in front of the camera back and forth.
Boom, can't wait
to see that.
Boom.
Recapping our essentially our top story of this day today, we actually had some news break yesterday. Christian McCaffrey ends up signing a long-term extension with the Carolina Panthers. If you want to go see the extended conversation that Joe and I had about McCaffrey, you could just rewind to the beginning of this show if you're watching on demand. If you're watching live, just wait until it ends and then subscribe to our channel on YouTube. If you like and subscribe and set your notifications to on, then you could see us discuss it. And you probably should because we seem to be having the crystal ball on Christian McCaffrey, Joe, because on yesterday's show, we talked about how Melvin Gordon really didn't do well in his free agency and maybe Christian McCaffrey should knock on that door of the Carolina Panthers and say, hey, let's get this done before things get crazy. Running backs are just not something that teams are interested in paying or even drafting. But McCaffrey is clearly a talent of a different kind. I put him in the same category as Marshall Faulk. I put him in the same category as LaDainian Tomlinson, bona fide number one pick in fantasy because he's able to catch the ball out of the backfield. But, Joe, I think we hold the same concerns. Carolina's not going to be a good team going into 2020.
Right.
And even if he is able to produce another 1,000-yard rushing, 1,000-yard receiving season, I mean, what is the shelf life for a player like that that's going to get hit as much as he does? So we'll just have to see if the contract makes sense in 3 years from now as opposed to this year.
Well, I mean, let me ask you this, because you've got him now at $16 million per the contract, right? $64 million 4 years. Zeke Elliott, $90 million over 6 years. That turns out to be about $15 million a year. So we're talking about a ton of guaranteed money here for these guys. When you look at Gurley, right? Gurley's got $45 million guaranteed. You got Lev Bell, $52.5 million guaranteed. So of all of those guys there, Zeke Elliott, you're looking at now, of course, McCaffrey, Gurley, Lev Bell. Who would you draft? I mean, of all those highest paid running backs, and that's the market right now, the top
echelon. McCaffrey is an easy one because he's such a dynamic player out of the backfield. But
how would you put them in fantantasy order then, from number one to now down?
Cook would have to be also in the conversation.
But not in that price category, because right.
Just
among the highest paid running backs. How would you?
They'll have to pay Barkley at some point too. But yeah, yes. I would say that for sure I would go McCaffrey one. The thing with Ezekiel Elliott, and he didn't have a great year last year. It's never great. It's never sexy.
Yep.
But in the end, he's gonna have 1,200 yards and 10 touchdowns. You just know it's coming there. Because every time they get near the goal line, they have no other options.
That's correct.
That's a big part of the conversation. As far as Bell is concerned, I still like the player. I still do. I just think that he was in such an awful situation last year.
Yes.
Getting signed, going to a team with a new coach, new offense, and then boom, the quarterback gets sick and is out for like a month. You know, I think he was dealt a bad hand. But at this stage, because of their offense being so poor, I'd probably have to put him third. And Gurley would be nowhere in my conversation, Joe. And again,
really, not at all, huh?
Not at all. And this is not me hating on an individual player, because if it is over indeed for Todd Gurley, you know, anybody playing at that level in the NFL has had a phenomenal career. But it's a broken record for me, and for people who are watching the show every day, they're probably sick of me saying it. But I'm just never going to be able to get over him being on that bike, riding the bike during the Super Bowl, Joe. I'm just not going to be able to.
I'm with
that.
You.
I mean, it's, 23-year-old player in their prime, being who was it? Who was it? Anderson that was running the ball.
That's correct.
In the Super Bowl.
Yep.
I mean, come on, man. Yeah. Like I'll never get over that. And again, yes, I did like the Rams in the game. Okay, like that's part of it. I did bet the Rams.
Right.
But still, like watching that game and seeing the most dynamic player in the NFL over a 2-year period fall completely apart in the last few games.
Made no sense.
And then just on that bike, you know, like losing the game and within a touchdown, a lot of the game just lose.
And you've got to wonder, and I've always wondered with Gurley even then, and I wonder it with Zeke, I wonder it with Lev Bell, and I'm going to wonder it with Christian McCaffrey. When you get that money, guys, when you get paid, you're out, whether you want to believe it or not, your outlook changes. And Gurley's on a bike knowing he's got $45 million coming to him one way. Man, you just don't look at the. There's no way if the littlest thing is wrong. I'm just saying, you have to wonder, like, is Zeke Elliott going to run with the same passion that he did when he was trying to get that money?
I don't think Bell will either.
But I don't think so.
I don't put Gurley in that category. I don't think it's a matter of want.
You don't think he's got any left in the tank?
He's not healthy.
You think there's more?
Something happened.
So what does that say about the Falcons then? That you took on a guy's contract who's got nothing left.
Dumb.
Okay. Yeah.
Dumb.
Yep.
I think it was a bad move. Just like the Rams downplayed his injuries for a year.
Yes.
I think the Falcons are downplaying the same thing. I think nobody really knows. Something has got to be up.
Yeah.
Joe, you've watched football your whole entire life. When have you ever seen the best player on the field amongst 100 players just not playing? And they're saying that he's healthy. And by the way, you remember all that prop betting that we were talking about with all of those girly props? You know, his rushing yards at 50 and his receptions. All the props were kind of like, we don't know if he's healthy. We don't know. And they all went under, every single one of them.
That's correct.
He didn't play.
Yep.
And then last year he didn't play either. I mean, he really didn't. Yet did he score a lot of touchdowns for the Rams last year? Absolutely. Every time they got near the goal line, they gave him the ball.
Right.
But he was not a 20 carry guy anymore. And it's funny, at the end of the year, McVay said, what was his thing? Oh, well, I'm sorry I didn't give Gurley the ball more. Oh, yeah, really? And then just
and that's
him?
That's the only reason that I look at Gurley and I go, all right, new start, new slate. Let's see what's really, because he's certainly young enough. But, man, McVay, to me, I think McVay is the most overhyped and got the most overexposed beginning from that Super Bowl all last year. I don't think he's got a clue. I really don't think he's got a clue. He paid a quarterback that he should never have paid nowhere near it. I mean, you gave Gurley the money. And for all I know, it could have been a rift between Gurley going, give me the damn ball, and McVay going, you'll get it when I give it to you. And Gurley going, all right, I'll just hang my ass out on the bike here for a little while. And let's see how that works out for you, Mika.
In the Super Bowl?
I think that whole thing leading up to the Super Bowl, too, don't forget. He wasn't playing. They were giving the ball in the playoffs.
C.J. Anderson all day long.
And he was like, I'm fine, give me the ball. They wouldn't give him the ball. I don't know why. I don't.
So hypothetically speaking, if you're FanDuel and you're setting the total of amount of rushing yards for Todd Gurley on the Falcons in 2020, we're also clear at this point that they really don't have a great back. I think Brian Hill may be their backup. Like, they don't have a great backup.
Eco Smith come back? I don't think he came back either. I think he's out too.
Eco Smith? Yep. Yeah, I don't think so. Right. And Freeman's gone too. So they're going to draft a running back.
Yes.
The Falcons are going to draft a guy. And we'll probably have to grab that guy in fantasy this year, as far as everything I'm saying. What would you set the line at for rushing total rushing yards for Todd Gurley in 2020?
How about I say all-purpose yards, 1,200?
I would bet under. I think it's way too high.
Because I think he'll be utilized more catching the ball, which he was not utilized for some reason in Sean McVay's thing, but I believe...
He was for 2 years.
That's my point, but over the last two... It was terrible! Why are you not getting the ball to him? Like, put it in his hands. I think they'll do a better job. I think Matt Ryan... Well, I mean, who was Matt Ryan throwing the ball to out of the backfield over the last couple of years? I think it's a great addition for Matt Ryan.
He was actually had a better year than I thought he was going to have. He was healthy for the most part this year. But I think that I would set the rushing total for Gurley for 2020 at about 800 yards.
Okay. So you think I can get 300, 400 yards?
I would guess 1,000 all-purpose.
All-purpose. Yeah, see, I don't know. I think he's going to have a much better year out of the backfield catching the ball. Because how much does a defense have to now spend talking about, I mean, who you got out in the corner? Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley.
They have good receivers.
And when you have those kinds of receivers, they're going to draft a tight end. They're going to go ahead and... So now what happened? Now you got to worry about Gurley out of the backfield?
I wouldn't worry about him.
What
I'm going to do is, in fantasy, I'm going to draft whoever Atlanta drafts in the draft next Thursday. Or I would say
as the running back,
take one in the first round, but in the second round or third round or something.
Interesting. All right, I think we got our first bet here coming up on FST regarding Gurley. I'm pulling up. I think he's got a little left in the tank. I don't think he liked McVay.
He just sat out the Super Bowl.
I think it was a kiss. Yeah, I got my money and screw you, McVay.
How many yards did Gurley have total last year? Let's pull this up.
That's a good question, though. What was his total? Let's see exactly how much.
857 rushing yards.
Okay, and how many
200
receiving?
200 receiving yards.
That's my point. He should have no less than 600 receiving yards. No less.
But all of his numbers are going down. 12 yards per catch, 9 yards per catch, 6 yards per catch. I think he's done, Joe.
No.
He's done.
I think McVay's done.
I'm just telling you. And again, it's so sad for me because, I mean, look at these numbers. 1,300 yards, 13 touchdowns, 788 receiving, and 6 touchdowns.
Yes,
the guy he was like a machine.
Yep.
He's the same. McCaffrey may even be better than Gurley, honestly. But Gurley was sort of what Falk and Tomlinson were.
Absolutely.
And then last year, 15 games played,
yep.
3.8 yards per carry, 857, a ton of touchdowns, 12 touchdowns.
Yep.
But only because they give this dude the ball at the goal line every single time.
And let us not forget, too, they were behind in every damn game.
Their defense wasn't good, too.
Defense wasn't good. They blamed that, of course. Yeah, it was Wade Phillips. Yeah, he was the problem. He was good enough the year prior to get you to the Super Bowl, but, of course, he wasn't, now all of a sudden you got to go in a different direction. I think the front office is a mess. I think Snead is just Les Snead has no idea what he's doing. They're holding $21 million in dead money because they traded Brandon. They're just just trying to get rid
Maybe
of it.
Maybe they're rebuilding.
No, well, they shouldn't have gave that money to begin with. And they got what, 9 wins as a total this year? Oh hell no! They'd be lucky to get the 7 wins.
All right, let's move on from the Rams. We've beaten them down enough. So the Raiders are coming up with a game plan, Joe. If they can't play in Las Vegas this year, which breaks my heart, man. I really was hoping for this. I still am going to hold out hope that there's enough time between now and September. And who knows? Maybe they don't start off the season in Las Vegas. Maybe they play the last 4 games there or something like that. But
I've actually heard from a couple of our sportsbook friends in Vegas that there are still workers working on the site as we speak.
I think they'll get this.
And apparently they're really close. So it's not going to take a long while to get it ready.
Maybe
once
just not the preseason.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Salt Lake, Phoenix, and San Diego are the options for them to play preseason games and early regular season games if need. Salt Lake City, Utah, Phoenix. Where would they play? I guess they could play in Tempe,
where one
of the college stadiums.
Yeah, either Arizona State or Arizona.
Yes, Arizona State, I think, is in.
They're in Tempe.
In that area. Yeah. So that would be a possibility. And then San Diego, they could
Qualcomm.
Imagine that. The Raiders are playing in San Diego.
If it's
San
even
Diego's
Qualcomm anymore. I don't even know. What the hell's there now? What's
nothing, I
baseball's
guess.
Baseball's got their own. So what? It's just not. Yeah, heck yeah. You could certainly use that.
Yeah, that could be a possibility.
Yeah.
A couple of other quick news and notes. The XFL, Joe, declared bankruptcy yesterday. I would assume that. So basically in 24 hours, we've gone from the XFL is done, but they still could come back. There was a glimmer of hope. I would assume there's no glimmer of hope once you declare bankruptcy. Isn't that pretty much it? Because their creditors include, from what I'm reading here, Bob Stoops, the head coach, Mark Trestman, the head coach, and it's $1 million apiece.
Yes.
For either of them, for both of those
that's
guys.
That's correct.
So if that's the case, Joe, doesn't that kind of put the end on the possibility of it coming back? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm missing something here. Or maybe they can come back under a different name. That's what we do here in Florida, right? One place goes bankrupt, then you come back under a different name. Isn't that the way it works?
Yep. They got, what did they say? $10 million. They got $50 million in both estimated assets and liabilities. So they're saying they're way over leveraged. They'll never be able to pay anybody back. Especially given the fact that they probably have to give the advertising dollars back and everything else, and they just don't, apparently they don't have it. So you had to know that was going to be in the cards at some point here, which is kind of hard to believe, because Vince said $250 million of his own money? Like he was ready to go all in on this, but apparently that's why you hire attorneys to create, shell companies in order to make sure in case it doesn't work, you can get out. And that's pretty much what's happening now.
Yeah, what a bummer. That's a lot of coin for Stoops. And
terrible,
for,
man.
You think Stoops, by the way, ever goes back to college? He coaches again?
Depends on how much fun he had or did not have with this. But I think it's an interesting question because...
He could get a job if he would want to, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really good coach. Well, I mean, Lincoln Riley's done great with Oklahoma, too, but...
Yep.
I would think that if Stoops wanted to go back to college, he could, but kind of bizarre to go to the XFL first. I mean, Mark Trestman makes sense. He's coaching college. He's coaching the NFL.
Seven of the eight head coaches were listed as creditors there. Who was the eighth coach that got their money?
I don't know.
It doesn't say. I mean, we'd have to go through that. Very interesting.
He probably took less up front, right?
Yep, exactly it. Anything to do with broadcast. They had to rent those stadiums, too, in a lot of places. Those guys are not going to get their money, so it's a mess.
Yeah.
Terrible.
All right, and we close out this quick conversation here. Gar Forman ends up being let go by Chicago Bulls.
Yep.
We haven't touched on this yet. I don't think this is a huge surprise. They're looking to just revamp everything. The once proud franchise in Chicago. We'll learn more about that, of course. The Michael Jordan special is getting ready to come on later this week. But not surprised here. Bulls are just looking to just kind of reshuffle everything.
Yeah.
But he's been part of this franchise, his foreman, for almost 30 years. So.
Yeah. You know what I often hope to is I get a role as a senior advisor. I'll know life is good when Mish and Ranieri are listed as senior advisors on a company, and that'll tell you that basically we're being paid not to do anything. So I think that's going to be So welcome John Paxson. Congratulations. He's now a senior advisor from president to senior advisor. Yeah,
that's right. You just get those media meals upstairs in the lunchroom.
That's it. Mish. That's exactly
I've seen it play out. Believe me, that's what it is.
Exactly.
All right, we'll be right back in a couple of minutes. We've got our iconic stadium reviews, one college football stadium, and we'll hit on a baseball one as well. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Ranieri here with you on this Tuesday, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Ranieri here with you on the show. It is April the 14th, and here on the show, what we like to do is take you back in time a little bit. And certainly, I think a lot of people have had a chance to visit a lot of these different stadiums that we've gone over. I think we're probably hitting about 50%, Joe, of these
Yes. That
we've kind of went through thus far, right?
Yep, that's about right. And we got a few more to go, so it's not like we're rushing for sports to get back or anything. But there may come a time where we have to start breaking down new stadiums. So.
Yeah, stadiums that don't exist.
Yes, future stadiums. Exactly correct. Ones of how Craig and I would actually build them.
Yeah, FanDuel, right? Yes. We'll go, like, instead of NFL futures, we'll do future NFL.
That's correct, yes. Yeah. Is Shea Stadium, by the way, going to make this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that, that's probably the most off thing that you've said thus far since we've been doing
this. I'm just saying, I mean, it was, it's Citi Field now, but it used to be Shea. It used to be Shea.
I don't remember that. I'm sorry. Yeah, we
why I fell in love with the Jets. You got to be kidding.
It's a lot of fun to look back at the historical perspective of these, but it's funny, as I completely disagree. I would love to have sports so we don't do these things all the time. This is the best of what we got
exactly.
For you guys here. I mean, it really, I've enjoyed it. I've certainly, with the research that I've done, learned a lot more about stadiums, about players, about this day in sports. Yeah, I mean, those things are cool to learn.
Yep.
But make no mistake about it, I'd much rather be at a game than be talking about a game in the 1980s. By the way, the other thing that I thought about today, instead of all of these retro games being played in the NBA and in Major League Baseball, as an example, why aren't like Wade Boggs and Cal Ripken and Dale Murphy in a Zoom that we can watch for like 30 minutes. Like, where's that? Like, in the NBA, why isn't like John Stockton, Steve Nash, and Gary Payton doing a 30-minute Zoom or 30-minute Skype?
Like
I'd be much more interested in watching those guys like talk to each other for 30 minutes or an hour. I'm just kind of tired of watching the retro games. It's been a month already. I've seen enough. Like, it was cool for a week or two or three.
They were experimenting, and correct me if I'm wrong, they were experimenting, I believe, with baseball, where they had a alternate broadcast going on to the regular broadcast, where it was, it was ex-players, all where they were actually commenting while the game was going on. And I think if you had that, where you had some ex-players that, and you were going to play a retro game, have them talk about what it was like during that game so they can tell the stories in between about what they were thinking and all of that kind of stuff. I think that would be tremendous.
Right. It's like if I told you tomorrow night that live on Skype or Zoom that Willie Mays and Hank Aaron were going to talk for 30 minutes, you wouldn't want to see that?
Absolutely.
I'd be in on that.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if Willie Mays was going to talk about, a game winner, Giants, when they won the World Series in New York, absolutely.
Just the two of them talking for 30 minutes. Yep. And then after that's done, then fire up Larry Bird and Magic Johnson in a Zoom or in a Skype for 30 minutes.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm more interested in that than this. I mean, really? Like horse?
Yeah, like the 86 championship. I'd love Magic, Kareem, and Bird and Parrish.
Just put them all in that Zoom room.
Yeah, tell me what was going on here, guys. What were you guys thinking? You know what I mean?
I think we should be the ones that are coming up with some of these
things. You know what? It's time for us to become.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's time to put us on the board of executives there. That's what it is.
NBA with all and the NBA and Major League Baseball with all of this history that they have in the sports, and the best that they're coming up with is having the current guys play video games and the NBA guys going in their backyard playing horse.
Senior advisor on the way. Here we go, Mish.
Change it up. All right, so our first historical stadium that we start off with today, a place I've never been, always interested in going, but never been, opened up in 1921. This is called Ohio Stadium.
Mm.
I thought it would be called Ohio State Stadium, but it's actually not. It's called Ohio Stadium, and home of the Ohio State Buckeyes, otherwise known as the Horseshoe for a lot of different people. And, of course, they've won a lot of college football championships. And when you think about it, Joe, unlike Michigan, and unlike Notre Dame, and unlike some other good colleges, I feel like Ohio State has almost never been down.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They'll have seasons where they only win 10 games or only win 9 games, but like they don't have that season. I feel like that they go like 5-8.
Right.
And usually every college football team has that year or two. But they have just gone from year after year, whether it's Day or Urban Meyer, or before Urban Meyer, I believe it was Jim Tressel, if I'm not mistaken, was before him.
That's correct.
So they always have, you know, good years. It's really, now maybe it's because their schedule isn't that great. I mean, that's certainly always plays a factor with Ohio State, because outside of the Big Ten, I don't think they really have great out of conference games, but they always seem to be in it every year.
Yep, and it's and a lot of that has to do with the fact, recruiting is everything, number one. And number two, I don't think Ohio State, well, I mean, there were some lean years in Ohio State, but for the most part, what makes that so unique, and especially that part, is that you could not win a game all year, but if you beat Michigan or vice versa.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
You're a gun. And that kind of rivalry, just we talked about it the other day, it's just not there. It's like one of the only rivalries we said, nobody wants to watch 2-4-8 teams like Florida State and Florida play, right? Mm-hmm. You could be 2-4-8 teams in Michigan and Ohio State and play, and as long as you won that game, nobody'd care.
Yeah. Ryan Day's winning percentage is 941.
How much?
94%. Urban Meyer's was 90%, 901. Jim Tressel's was 80%.
He navigated through some lean years there, that's for sure. Now,
I mean, 80's really great, though.
Yeah.
John Cooper at the end.
Yeah, he was.
I remember struggled a little bit, but even still, the winning percentage for John Cooper was 71%. They haven't had a season of 500 or below since 1946.
Wow. Well, that tells you everything you need to know about why they're so popular and why there are ratings. It's why that's why the committee always wants Ohio State in there.
They always want them in there.
Correct.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, iconic players of all time at Ohio State. Got to put Archie Griffin is considered one of the greatest college football players of all time. I believe he's the only player to ever win the Heisman Trophy
twice.
Back-to-back.
Yep.
So Archie Griffin, although he didn't have a fantastic NFL career, was one of the best college football players of all time. Chris Spielman at Ohio State was an absolute beast as a linebacker. And played for the Lions a long time in the NFL. Now I believe he's on Fox winning games. His brother is an executive in the NFL. But Chris Spielman, certainly probably the best defensive player to ever play at Ohio State. Eddie George, Heisman Trophy winner,
great
running
Eddie.
Back.
Yep.
I don't think Eddie George could play in the NFL right now. Honestly, it was a different day, a different style. A big 6'2", 6'3" running back just running straight ahead. It's like a lost art. NFL. It's like if you do that now, they hit you in the knee and then you're done. But Eddie George played so long in the NFL too.
Yeah. And there were no rules about hitting then.
No. But Eddie George was great in college. Orlando Pace, best tackle at the time in college and also in the NFL.
Played
with the Rams. He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well. And I think that you got to include Troy Smith. He brought him a championship and played there for a number of years. Joe, when Troy Smith was at Ohio State, I think most people thought, wow, great college quarterback, not going to be a great NFL quarterback. That turned out to be true. Played with the Ravens, I think, a couple of years. But
interesting.
But Troy Smith was a really good quarterback there. I got some names that I missed, unless you
want to. Oh, you got a few that you missed there. Chris Carter was
Chris
pretty
right
good.
There.
I believe Jack Tatum also.
Jack Tatum was on the all-time list for sure. He was in the 20s for most people.
Yep.
Top 20.
Yep. He was, Zeke Elliott was actually pretty good from there.
Zeke Elliott.
Nick Mangold, one of my favorites because he was an ex-Czech, though, but had a pretty good career in the NFL, too, as well. That was, I mean, you can go down the list. They had some.
And Beanie Wells.
Yeah. Beanie Wells. Wasn't David Boston on that team, too? Like a guy that never lived up
sounds
to the.
Right.
Right? Expectation. Had like 1 ounce of body fat or something. He could never play. But
right. AJ Hawk.
Yeah. Hawk there. Bosa, right? All the Bosa family went there.
Andy Katzenmoyer.
Wow, that's right. Yep, also very good.
Yeah, he was
wow.
American.
Very
Maurice
nice.
Maurice Clarett. They don't, Ohio State doesn't want to remember him.
No. Also, I think a bunch of. Didn't Galloway go there? Was Joey Galloway?
Right,
I think Joey Galloway was
Maybe
there.
Maybe we should
too.
Have done a second page of these. Guys.
Yeah, they might have been in. They might have probably been worth. Terry Glenn, I think, too, was an Ohio State guy.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah, there was
Maybe
good.
You should have went page two on
that. I'm thinking you should have had three pages, but you know, who am I? It's right. Not Florida. So we're all right. That's all right, Woody Hayes. I got you.
Woody Hayes. Yeah. So there you go, Ohio State University. We're going to get a lot of people mad at us for this.
Michigan people are not going to be happy with that.
No, they're not.
Yeah, well, they're all because you only gave them one page, so that was good.
Yeah, I don't know. For some reason, I didn't go second page here. But
yeah,
you bring up
all right.
A couple of good names, maybe.
They're all right.
That I brought up here. Okay, moving on to baseball here. Hopefully I'll do a little bit better here. This is Angel Stadium of Anaheim. Wow, This is really digging down deep. Angel Stadium opened up in 1966, home of the California Angels, Anaheim Angels, and then the Los Angeles Angels.
So this is, that wasn't a new stadium, build a new stadium, or did they? Really?
No.
I thought that was a new stadium there.
No.
So they just upgraded over the years.
Yeah,
I'm
they just kind of fixed it around.
Yep. Yeah. Wow. Look at that.
Yeah. So they had three names at least. You got that going for you. California Angels. That's what everybody remembers. Then they turned themselves into the Anaheim Angels, which is when they won the World Series in 2002. And now they're the Los Angeles Angels. And if you remember, they used to be also the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Yep.
It's like for some reason they like had to have the Anaheim name in there for a long time and then they got rid of it.
Yes. Yep. That's funny. You're right. That's so the Sochi years, that was that 2002?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that was 2002. I always thought they built a new stadium along the line, but they did a lot of repairs to it.
Keep fixing it up.
Yeah, yep.
Kind of like Kansas City. A couple of different renovations.
Yep.
So how about the iconic players that played for the Angels, Rod Carew, probably at the top. And the thing, what's interesting about the Angels is there aren't a lot of players that I found in their history, Joe, that have only played with the Angels. It feels like a lot of their best players ended up either starting somewhere else or they finished somewhere else. And so while Rod Carew, arguably one of the greatest just pure hitters of all time, remember, he started off with the Minnesota Twins and played several years with the Twins before he came to the Angels, but of course went into the Hall of Fame as a member of the Angels.
Interesting.
Nolan Ryan pitched for a handful of years with the California Angels, all-time strikeouts leader, so he actually goes on the list. Now, Tim Salmon gets forgotten about a lot, but he is kind of Mr. Angel.
Yep, I agree.
Salmon had... I mean, probably
he had
the
some
best,
huge years.
Yeah, probably the best overall Angel of all time because he ended up playing just solely with them for 14 years, 299 home runs, and over 1,000 runs driven in. And so, Salmon's got to be there as well. Vladimir Guerrero, remember he started off with Montreal, but he was the man with
correct.
The Angels, and so now a Hall of Famer as well, and went into the Hall of Fame, of course, as a member of the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
And then some guy that caps it off here at the end. Very little known guy in Major League Baseball that no one's really heard of, but I thought we would just throw him in. Mike Trout.
Absolutely.
Mike Trout at the end there. Mike Trout is probably, Joe, going to go down as the best Angel of all time, and it will not be particularly close. So.
No, I don't think at all. I mean, you didn't, and correct me if I'm wrong there, I don't think... I didn't see Chone Figgins on there at all.
Oh, see, there you go.
I didn't see that. Or Doug DeSensei, right? I don't think you had him on there either, third baseman, for a long time.
This has just been a complete failure of a show.
It's been awful. You just have not.
Schofield is not there. It's like, man, what did I do?
Wasn't Mike Witt on that? Was another guy, too, that pitched there for a while?
Starting pitcher, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
Finley?
Chuck Finley, yes, absolutely.
What was Chuck Finley's claim to fame? Do you recall after he was done playing?
Chuck, what did Finley do?
Chuck Finley was married to Tawny Catane for a short period.
Yes,
of time.
Yes.
From those Whitesnake videos.
That's correct.
You strike me as you used to be a fan of Whitesnake.
I don't mind a little Whitesnake, a little Slide It In, one of the best albums ever from them, by the way. A little old school Whitesnake, absolutely.
I don't know. Something told me Joe Ranieri is a fan of Whitesnake.
Yep, I got no problem.
Here I go again.
Not that. This white, older Whitesnake. Oh, much older Whitesnake. A little Rat. We could have done a little of that.
Round no and problem. Round.
Round and round, we could have done that. Yep, I got no problem with that.
All right, iconic Angels players that we missed. Garrett Anderson.
Ooh, very good.
Good one there.
Yep.
Troy Percival, closer with the Angels for a long period of time.
Really good,
came in
too.
After Lee Smith. Wally Joyner's career got off to a great start and then just kind of faded. But Wally Joyner initially, everyone thought he was going to be the greatest Angel of all time. And then after his rookie season.
Wasn't
kind of,
Chili on there, too? Wasn't Chili Davis?
Chili Davis was an Angel. Bobby Gritch.
Bobby Gritch, too. Wow.
Fred Lynn was an Angel.
That's right. That's right.
That's what happens is I think that you'll find with the Angels is that a lot of players start off their career somewhere
and then go to the other place. Yes,
and they've got to go to California, right?
That's correct.
The Dodgers ain't going to take you.
Wow,
so,
that's great.
So you had to go play for the Angels to finish off your career.
Yep. And wasn't Abbott?
Jim Abbott.
Jim Abbott, right?
Yes.
Yep, Jim Abbott was on there.
That's a good name, too. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't an iconic player, but he had one of the most iconic moments of all time.
That's correct. They had some times. They had a couple of periods of time there where they were very relevant. They were very irrelevant for a long, long time, but they had some guys that could play. Reggie played there, didn't he?
Nate
didn't
Winfield. Yeah.
Don Baylor, too, was he not?
Yeah, good, too.
Yeah, Don Baylor was that. Frank Tanna, remember that? Remember, I think I still have that card.
Well, I'm waiting on those cards.
Yeah.
does Mike Trout go down as like a top 10 player of all time when it's all said and done? I mean, it's like he's the most anonymous best player of all time.
I don't think it's even close. I really do. But because he's been in Anaheim, California, call it what you want there. But he is.
He's going to have 3,000 hits. He's going to have 500. How many home runs am I?
Yep.
But he's going to have 3,000 hits. He's probably going to have 500 home runs.
That's correct. Yep. And he's going to, his WAR is going to be better than just about anybody we've ever seen before. And
WAR 72 right now, correct?
Oh, God.
All right, we'll be back to wrap up our show. One more segment to go right here on Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mitchell along with Joe Ranieri. Don't go away.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man, we gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish and Joe Ranieri here with you, as we are every day from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, and you'll want to tune in to tomorrow's show. This is a very big one for us. This is the one that breaks the internet. It breaks Zoom, it breaks YouTube, it breaks Zumo, it breaks Pluto, it breaks Stir, and every other planet out there. Zumo, Pluto. Wow, there you go.
Yeah.
Our first. I did not anticipate this being our first graphic of the show of all time.
Me neither, I gotta tell you.
Is that actually gonna make the air?
I am fairly certain that guy's reaction
is
pretty. I have no idea. I don't even know where it came from, but he's so excited about the show right now that we blew his mind.
I mean, really. There you go. That's groundbreaking right there. Don't even know who that guy is. He just sit in for me right here. I'll get out of the stream.
I don't know whoever that guy is. He was amazed, and you said it. It's the show of all shows.
It's the show of all shows, and here's why. So we've been talking the last couple of weeks about the Fantasy League Legends draft.
Yes.
We did the 80s, 80 through 89. We did the 90s, 90 through 99.
Mm-hmm.
And then my co-host Joe Ranieri said, "You know something? I want to get into one of these drafts." And so tonight, Joe is going to have his way at the decade of 2000 through 2009.
Yep.
And he's going to be drafting the best seasons from the players that played in that era from 2000 to 2009, which at the very beginning, of course, was still what most people would believe to be the steroid era.
Absolutely.
You know, from about 98 through about 2000, I don't know, what would you call it? 2004
or 5? Yep.
We're along those lines, maybe even a little bit deeper to that, but then they started suspending guys at the end of that.
Right.
So it sort of changed. Remember, they used to suspend guys, by the way, Joe, for 10 games.
Yes.
A 10-game suspension for steroid use. Now it's like you get suspended for the season.
When was Canseco's book?
It was it was around this time, I think.
It was, right? It was right around that time. So I think, so right after that is where it really the cover started to get blown off there.
Right. So Joe, let's take a look real quick at the average draft position. This is from Real Time Sports. Now, Joe has the 12th pick overall.
This thing is rigged. This thing is so rigged. I get it. New guy. Throw him at the bottom of the order.
It was random.
So, but Stample gets the first pick? Like, what kind of crap is this? This is terrible. This is just ridiculous.
So Barry Bonds, according to the scoring system. Now, remember, this doesn't mean anything. You're still going to have to draft a good team and play against another team. You're
good
gonna
point.
Need
good
to
point.
Fill all your positions. And this is not like, you know, a fantasy. It's like a fantasy draft in a sense because we're doing it fantasy style. But remember, you're going to need a first baseman, a second baseman, a shortstop. You're going to have to play everyone. You can't just stack. So Bonds and Sosa are 1 and 2 again in this draft. Bonds, this is 01 was the season that he hit 73 home runs. So clearly he's the number one guy. Sammy Sosa's number two. Ryan Howard, who had some unbelievable years, is number three. Luis Gonzalez had that 1 year. That's like a shock to see him the fourth best season of the entire decade.
It's crazy.
57 home runs.
Mm.
In 2001, a lot of these guys, I mean, it looks like 01 and 02 were like the big boy steroid era here.
That's
right?
Crazy.
Alfonso Soriano and Sean Green. Green in 01, Soriano, I believe that was his 40-40 season.
Yep.
You get a crack at Albert Pujols here, one of his best years in 2009. Vladimir Guerrero, Montreal, 2002.
Yep.
Game over Gagne. Remember him, Joe?
Remember it well.
His numbers were out of this world as a closer. Randy Johnson of 02, Pedro Martinez of 2000, 1999 and 2000 were Pedro's best two seasons. You can see him there in the bottom left-hand corner of your screen.
Yep.
Prince Fielder, a lot of people forget about how good he was too.
Yeah.
With the Milwaukee Brewers, 40-plus home runs. Jim Thome every year hit 40 home runs. Adrian Beltre with the Dodgers in 04, and then Alex Rodriguez in the year 2000 at shortstop.
Yep.
So, got a lot of options here, Joe. Can't say that you don't. You got a lot of options here. So you could go one or two ways. You can either hope that one of those pitchers, like Pedro Martinez or Randy Johnson, get to you.
Right.
Or you can go with a hitter. I'm going to guess that even though the ADP is set the way that it is that we went over, I'm going to guess that Gagne is not going to be the ninth pick. I think that
I agree.
He'll slide down into the 20s or 30s. I think that even though he grades out this way, a closer is not going to be as valuable in a league like this as some of the other players. So you can kind of move him down a little bit. So would you go with Pedro or Randy if they were there, or are you hell-bent on taking a hitter? with your...
Yeah, I mean, I'd have to because at the 12th spot, right? So I would need to either, chances are, I'm not going to get one of the hitters I probably would want, but I'll probably right. have the pick of the pitching staff that I want. I do get the return shot, too, on the draft as well. So it's really going to be two picks out of four. You know, out of the next four. So I would definitely consider taking, depending on if Pedro, if Randy, or even Gagne, for that matter, were there, that's probably who I would go that route and then work the hitters.
Yeah. And the thing
about... And I'm going average, by the way. I'm going Helton. I'm going, I'm going guys that put the bat on the ball a lot during Guerrero, those kinds of guys.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that, you know, the Yankees had some really... Your team... The Yankees had some really good seasons,
yep.
2000, 2001, 02, and 03, and then things just kind of just yep. petered out for them
yep.
at the latter half of the decade. And it's funny, I don't see a lot of Yankees in the first 7,500 picks here.
Yeah, Teixeira's at 20. I mean, I looked at him at 20. The Rodriguez year was Seattle.
Yeah, I got Mariano Rivera here at 64.
Right, which is crazy too, but yep. Is, how about, what's his, was it, Edgar? Is Edgar, he'd have to be on here, right? Edgar Martinez, another uh-huh. guy, always
yeah,
hitting 380.
Qualifies as a designated hitter.
As a DH, here. Okay.
See his year is, let's see, if you, but, you know, it's hard to tell.
Yep. Interesting. Yes, he is a DH.
Okay, yeah, Todd Helton hit 372.
Yes, yeah, that's the angle I'm going for. Give me some guys in that 360 range over there.
Wow, Maglio Ordóñez, 363, 28 home runs.
Mm-hmm. 30
runs. I don't remember Maglio Ordóñez.
Remember how good Greinke was, too, when he was starting out there with Kansas City,
huge
man?
Strikeout guy.
Yep, big time.
Yeah, and then we got this was the young Marlins days, Miguel Cabrera.
Yep.
At third base, Hanley Ramirez. Hanley Ramirez was the first or second overall pick at shortstop in fantasy for a couple of different years.
Yep, absolutely.
Jason Giambi's years with Oakland.
Yes, yep.
So, I don't think that you're going to be able to have your way with a lot of Yankees unless you...
No, unfortunately, until I start getting down a little bit there. But, Teixeira maybe, right? I mean, that year was what? 43 homers, 144 ribbies.
Yeah, you got Jeter of 09, 18 home runs, 30 stolen bases.
Yep. Is that Troy Glaus? Wow. How's that blast from the past?
Troy Glaus would have gone on to hit 500 home runs, but that guy's legs were, like, shot.
Yes, it was a mess. 47 dingers that year. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting approach on how to go there. I mean, you got Thomas and you got Bagwell. I mean, what year did they go with Bagwell? 01?
Yes.
So 39 homers.
And the other thing, too, is unlike those other drafts, the stolen bases are down significantly in this one. You have Jose Reyes is the leader with 64 stolen bases, and then no one else had 50.
Yeah.
So if you're planning on drafting a, you know, old prototypical leadoff hitter that can steal bases, you don't have nearly the amount of choices that you...
My approach, I'm going all guys with average. Give me Larry Walker. Give me guys that could hit 350 and 1 through 9, and good luck trying to get them out.
What about pitching, though?
Pitching, I'm gonna actually, outside of that first pick, which will probably be the pitcher, I wouldn't mind going like a Greinke, you know what I mean? The strikeout kind of guy that you could get in the middle rounds.
All right, so the top strikeout pitchers from 2000 to 2009, you have Randy Johnson.
Yes.
In 2002 with 334 strikeouts.
Right.
You got Curt Schilling in 2001 with 293 strikeouts.
Wow.
Pedro Martinez, 284, 2000.
Right.
Verlander of 09 with 269.
Jeez.
Kerry Wood with 266. How about this season when Johan Santana won the Cy Young Award? 20 wins, 2.61 ERA, 265 strikeouts, and a .92 WHIP.
Which is crazy.
I would target that. Hey, Tim Lincecum, remember?
I was gonna say that was and Mark Pryor too. Those guys didn't
Mark
get
Pryor
hurt.
That had that one year.
Wow. Yeah. Yep. Wow. Yeah. So, Armando Benitez. I think he's still playing. he was another guy with he was here in Florida, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Yes.
One year that he actually came back another year later on. But yeah, he had an unbelievable year. He signed a free agent contract, and that was the end of it.
Yep.
I think that if I had to give you some advice on a strategy here, is make sure you get three or four solid starting pitchers.
Okay.
But unlike a fantasy draft, make sure that all of your starting positions are attacked. I would not go for like a fourth and fifth outfielder before I got a shortstop. And I would not go for a fifth outfielder before I got a catcher. In fantasy, you could pull that off.
Yes, exactly. So make sure you got yourself your lineup in there.
Fill out your lineup.
Right, fill out the lineup first.
That's what I learned from doing the draft and seeing the other drafts play out, because a couple of players were like taking the best player on the board, which is sometimes what you do in a fantasy draft.
But
you're not going to be playing that player in this league. If you have your starting eight players and your DH, you don't go another hitter. You go with a pitcher. Remember, every player that you play up until arguably the last three rounds, you're going to be using over the course of 162 games. There's a three-man reserve bench.
Right.
So in the last three rounds, then you take, you know, a pinch hitter.
You go with that round.
A pinch runner late in the game, because you're going to be able to put your settings.
Yep.
On this software, it says, do you want to use a pinch hitter like in the eighth inning or ninth inning? Not every game. You basically set it for the season.
Correct.
And so if you want to use your pinch runner, then you put the player in who you want to be the pinch runner and you click yes.
Yep.
And then you're done for playing out the whole games for the whole year. But you may want to take a guy toward the end to just simply do that.
And Edgar Martinez kind of thing. Exactly.
So you got to find guys like this that are going to end up working out. But we're starting our 80s league this week and the 90s league this week. And then next week we'll do 2010 through 2019.
Interesting. Very interesting.
You think you're ready?
Phil Nevin.
Three hours in a draft room?
I'm going to go, man. Let's do it. 3 hours in a draft. How long do these guys usually take? Do they take their sweet time?
A minute.
Oh, is it really? All right. So we should be able to bang this thing out, no problem.
Two and a half, usually. 2.5 hours.
All right. Is there any trash talking in this room? I didn't see.
You could.
Is there?
In the last draft, there was.
In the queue?
What happens is it's only natural, is that so the great people at Real Time Sports and Out of the Park Baseball, when they're putting this draft together, remember, we're going through so much data over time.
Right.
So they essentially are what Out of the Park Baseball did essentially is they took the players that had the best seasons in WAR.
Okay.
And that's how they pick the players from this decade.
Gotcha.
So you're going to miss out every once in a while on a player that had much better statistics, but because his WAR was better, some defense may have factored into that equation.
Gotcha.
So what you're going to see in the chat room when we have the draft is there's going to be people that say, well, how come they used A-Rod's year of 2000, they didn't use his year of the Yankees when he won the MVP
right.
of 2003? Well, that's because he played short versus third. And that's the kind of thing that you're going to see.
The numbers didn't crunch, right.
And some of it is valid. Some of it you'll look back and say, look, he had a better offensive year this year, but for whatever reason, it didn't factor in. The key ones that we've seen thus far is in the 80s draft, Andre Dawson did not have his MVP season of 1987. It was just a different year of his, maybe because he threw out more guys from right field.
Yep.
I don't know why.
Right, yeah.
And then in the last draft that we had in the 90s, I believe it was Dennis Eckersley had some crazy closing season with the A's.
Which is crazy. Okay.
And we didn't have it in there. It was a different one. But look, I mean, they're putting together so much data here. I can't be the one to.
No, exactly.
To complain with that. So Joe will be in that draft. We'll look forward to that. Just a couple of quick notes before we get out of here as well. Trey Mancini of the Baltimore Orioles. I know this doesn't affect fantasy this year, but Mike Elias, who we had on the show here on Fantasy Sports Today, actually about a month ago when we were doing spring training, he reported to the Baltimore Sun via Zoom conference, apparently, that Mancini, who had surgery, had a malignant tumor removed from his colon. Still, his season is still very much up in the air, no matter when the season begins. So those of you who are doing any kind of fantasy draft now,
understandable, yeah,
something to just kind of keep in mind. And also, Joe, as far as our NFL draft is concerned, just want to let everybody know that on Thursday night of next week, we're going to be live covering this thing, wall-to-wall coverage of the NFL draft. I know a lot of people have different options as to where they can see and watch the draft, but not many of them are actually going to be live like us.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, and we're a lot of work's going in behind the scenes getting us ready for this. So I think a lot of many of you, if you're new to the network, You're going to be extremely impressed with the coverage that we've got and how we approach it, certainly from a betting perspective, too, which is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, so we'll cover some of that as we kind of get closer to the draft and kick in on that. And fortunately for us, Joe, the only story that's kind of percolated over the last few days as far as the draft is concerned was CBS holding a mock draft where they had Joe Burrow traded to the Dolphins, and the Dolphins end up trading. How many picks in that mock did the Dolphins have to give up to get for?
I think all of them in the first. Yeah,
which is pretty,
for the next 3 years.
I'm fairly certain.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I'm not buying it, I don't see them doing anything other than sitting at five and waiting to see who's available on the board.
I agree with you, but a lot of fun discussion up until the draft. We still have a little bit over a week away, and we will cover it here for you on Sports Grid. Just a programming reminder: make sure you catch all of our shows, including the Early Line with Joe and Dane. That will be tomorrow morning, followed by the morning after, and then us from 11 to 1. And we have different programming usually in the early afternoon from 1 to 3. Make sure you catch Scott Farrell Coast to Coast in the afternoon, and then In Game Live. Sports Grid is on 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. So those of you who are watching our show live, that's very cool. But don't forget, on demand, any of our hosts, any of our shows can always be accessed over at sportsgrid.com.
Yep.
Also on YouTube. And if you're just like that kind of audio person where you want to sit in the back of the yard and not watch anything on TV, put the headphones on and listen to just some sports talk of what's going on and, you know, detach from family or detach from life for a couple of hours, go over to the site on iTunes and also on Android, and just type in Fantasy Sports Today, or type my name in, Craig Mish or Joe Ranieri's name, and you'll catch our shows every day as well. That's how you can hear us on the audio side. That will do it for the show. For my co-host Joe Ranieri, I'm Craig Mish. We'll catch you again tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid. Have a great night, everybody. See ya.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.